Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Bears Podcast. With me, as always, is Mike Actor. Comedian, working actor, comedian, Mike Pusateri. Now, Mike Prasnowski is on the injured list with an undisclosed injury.
Undisclosed.
But I think we know that it's...
Many of us have herpes.
So he's not with us this week. He's on the injured list, designated to return.
He's in the blue tent.
And I'm sure he did an exciting podcast last night. Maybe put him over the edge about the Craig Council press conference. A free article on the Pointless Exercise newsletter today where I went through and I'd like to say I transcribed the entire press conference and then picked the best bits.
Yeah.
I didn't, but it turned out to be a royal pain in the ass. I'm like, okay, I just want to transcribe this, and there's services you can use that I use for my real job that you have to pay for, and I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I found out, how about there's a little tip for you. For you at-home podcasters.
Oh, boy.
For you amateur podcasters, unlike us. there's a thing through AWS, which is Amazon Web Systems, I think is what AWS is, where you sign up for a free account, and it will transcribe up to an hour of audio a month for free.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that. This sounds easy. So I stole the clip from, I stole the press conference video from YouTube. I don't know how to do that. Stripped the sound out of it. And then it was like a 15-step thing with AWS to set this thing up. But I did it. I dumped the thing in. I hit transcribe. And within like minutes, it finished it. Everything was good.
Wow.
So I went to output it thinking it would be in like a text file.
Oh, no.
It was in this JavaScript file. Yeah. And I take the JavaScript file. I had to open it in Excel where, yeah, that's the worst place to open, but I read that this would work, and it did. It had all this code. Then it had all the text. Then it had some more code. So I grabbed the text out of the middle of it, threw it into a text file. No paragraphs, just 44 minutes of, and I should have counted these, of Jed, and I know I do it a lot too, but Jed and Craig saying, ugh, at least 1,000 times. So thankfully, the AWS spelled ugh the same way every time, so I could quickly do a replace
find and replace.
Delete.
Yeah.
I got rid of the uhs. And then I picked out the best parts and I put them in. And I made fun of it, and so it's free. So you can go to Pointless Exercise Newsletter. You can read the free me making fun of the podcast of the press conference.
Yep.
And then just sign up. Why the hell not?
I laughed out loud at the. Hey Craig, can you hide my box of porn I left in the office?
Why else would David Ross have immediately texted him? There's no other way. There's something in that office that he wants Craig to get to before anybody else.
Right, right.
And it's usually a big box of porn.
Yeah.
So since last we podcasted, your union has come to an agreement. And you guys are in the... How does this work now? You have to ratify this agreement. You could temporarily... Yes. The strike is on pause, correct?
You yeah, would you like work. An update? You want me to update it?
Yes, live here on the podcast.
For listeners? Okay. So the strike officially ended at, I want to say, 12:01 p.m. Thursday morning last week. So the strike is over. There is a tentative agreement that, as you say, must be ratified. Now, while that is going on, since the strike is over, we can go back to work. So your favorite shows they're able to start back up and all that good stuff. There will be a 3-week period, which I think begins today or tomorrow and goes to December 5th, I want to say, where SAG members will vote for the contract up or down. So we're in that process right now. They send out postcards, but you can also do it online. You know, there's a whole thing how you do it, but you have until I think it's December 5th to vote yes or no. And so while that is going on, there's a bunch of informational meetings that are happening. So SAG has put out a summary of the deal points. AI is a big topic. They put out these helpful handouts and so forth. They had a Zoom meeting yesterday. They're having an in-person meeting in LA Thursday, which I will be going to. So that's kind of what's going on. There has been some, it'll be interesting to see if it is approved or not. Justine Bateman, who is...
I saw you posted the thread.
Yes. She is an AI expert and actually advised the union during the negotiations, has pointed out a number of things that regarding the AI provision specifically that she sees as problematic. So it's been quite the point of discussion among union members. And so that's where we're at. So now we're heading into this. You can vote again as soon as today or tomorrow, but mostly I think it's going to be a lot of information, a lot of questions, meetings, Zooms, and then we'll see what the results turn out to be.
All right. If you vote online, be careful. Don't accidentally vote for Ryan Tepera for MVP.
You know, I made that mistake once.
Yes,
me and one other guy made that mistake.
That's Joe Strauss, I think.
Was it Joe Strauss or was it Bernie?
No, I think it was Rick Hummel, the asshole.
Rick Hummel.
What do they call those hats? The ones that like snap like in the front, and old cab drivers used to wear them.
Guy,
the dean. You know, the dean got a little shaky. I forget who he tried. He explained who he tried to vote for.
Yeah.
It was like an eighth place vote. It's not like, but it would be funny if the Cubs had to like give Tepera some kind of big bonus because he got an MVP vote, and it was all because Rick can't run a computer.
What if SAG
ratified on his jitterbug and he got all confused?
What if SAG ratified Ryan Tepera as a result of all this? That would be unusual.
He's your new. He's the guy that's got to approve all the AI stuff.
Yes, he's our man. He's our guy. So there you go.
Well, that's good. Glad you could be gainfully employed again.
Yes. Yes. It's very different than a Major League Baseball process, which we all learned about when they went on strike.
Yeah, they're like, all right, everybody good? Yeah, we're fine. All right. Start playing. Because I remember were like, oh, it's going to take weeks. And I'm like, it's not going to take weeks.
Like, oh, no.
But then we also determined your union has 7,000 people in it or something. It's a little easier to corral the baseball players, especially if you make them report to spring training. You can lock them in a room and go, all right, assholes, vote.
And that's how they do it, right? It's like one vote per team, and then there's like the 10 people on the negotiating committee get a vote. So it's like, oh, Cubs up or down.
Yeah.
Yes. Very strange.
Yeah, it was majority within each team.
Yeah.
So you could still have, you could have 12 guys. Well, it's probably the 40-man rosters of vote. You could have 19 guys on every team are like, no, it's a terrible deal. And it didn't matter. It was going to pass.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's good.
There we go.
I thought that genuinely the most impressive, I joked about it, that it was the most impressive answer to a question by a Cub manager since Joe Maddon talked about his Camaro in college. But it really was a great answer. Megan Montemiro asked Craig Counsell what role he sees player development continuing when a player gets to the big leagues, which we know under the previous stooge was, this guy still needs work, so I can't give him any time.
Yeah.
And counsel went on like a, gave a 3-minute answer where he basically talked about how all these different parts of the organization need to support that player when he gets to the big leagues. Like, we know it's hard. And this is the biggest step up they're ever going to, the biggest level up in competition ever is when you go from AAA to the big leagues. And you can't expect that they're going to be fully formed when they show up.
Yeah.
And we've got to keep doing it because these are valuable players and we want them to contribute. And it's just, you know, I didn't, but I could have stood up in my house and given him a standing ovation during his press conference on YouTube. Yeah. On delay, which would have been weird. He'd said it. I was 20 minutes behind. He said it 20 minutes before I was giving him a standing ovation.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, Ross's answer would have been, I just leave him on the bench for the last month of the season. Oh, good.
How
Thanks.
Dark are they? Sorry, Dave. No, it's...
Yeah, and you made another hilarious point, too, which is I was thinking the same thing. You're like... Well, this is the first time anyone has ever heard Craig Counsell speak. It's true. I didn't know what he sounded like. I had no idea.
I didn't realize it till right as Jed was introducing him. I'm like, I don't know what his voice sounds like.
No idea. It's good. He's got a good voice. Yeah. I like it.
He's older than me, and he looks like he's 12 still.
He does. He looks
like
he's
12 years old. How he does it.
Yeah.
One thing they have to work on, I noticed it with, I watched the Bob Melvin press conference too. And Bob, when they made him put his Giants jersey on, didn't want to do it. He's like, do we have to do it now? He literally said, do we have to do it now? Like, can't we do it at the end? Like, why do I have to sit here? Bob had a suit on. Bob,
you look nice.
Basically, his thing was, I picked this out, and now I'm going to have to half-ass throw a shirt over it. And then Bob spent, like, a good 30 seconds trying to make sure he got it lined up right. Where Craig didn't even bother to button it. He just puts it on, and he's already got it. And you could tell he put no thought into it. He wore a white dress shirt, which looked awful. You know, it's all he completely washed out anyway. And it's just, but it's such a weird thing that they do, that they actually have the manager, like, put the jersey on over their, you know. They have to take their suit coat off. He didn't have a suit coat, and he didn't have a tie. He didn't really give a shit. But it's like, really? Do we still need to do this? Oh, it's for the photo op. Like, oh
yeah, right.
That's a picture you're gonna see over and over again. Although I do think I used the one of Ross and Hoyer shaking hands about 1,000 times.
You did.
Every time they did something stupid, I had a picture of them at least shaking hands on it.
Yeah, and Carter's taking over the Jed role of just sitting there doing nothing, no questions asked, not saying anything.
So here's the thing that I noticed. I looked back through the transcript. Craig talked for about 35 minutes. How many Cub players were mentioned during that 35 minutes of him, brand new manager, talking about his new club?
Yeah.
How many players were mentioned by name in 35 minutes?
By name? I don't think, I can't remember any.
None.
Yeah.
They never talked about a single player.
Why would you ask a question about a player to a manager?
They'd be like, Andy Dolan, pointless exercise. How fucking hilarious to you is it that Ian Happ has 2 gold gloves? Pretty hilarious, huh, Craig? Yeah. How about that? We learned Ian Happ's wedding this weekend in Chicago.
Yes.
That Rossi's got to be back in town, right? He's not
skipping. He got to be.
I'm sure he was invited. He's not going to skip that.
No. And we learn Nico's mom is picking up to take him to Target? Doesn't Nico's mom live in California? Why is she picking him up in Chicago to go to the Target? I'm very confused.
So I was, this afternoon, I had to go run an errand. And I turned on the score, which I rarely do. But Nico was on, so I listened to it. And this was funny. Spiegel and Parkins asked him, hey, what'd you get at Target yesterday? And Nico's like, how the hell do you know I went to Target? I'm like, oh, I read it in The Athletic. John Greenberg wrote about it. Your mom picked you up. He's like, well, okay. He got a bunch of stuff for like the guest room for the guest bathroom in his house. Like, I had to get some hand towels. I had to get some towels. We bought a mop. We got some all-purpose cleaner. He like gave the he gave the shopping list.
Right.
But that's when they ask him, why are you in? Or I guess they knew because that was in there that he was in town.
It was in the article. Yeah. Here we go.
And if you, we know that if you throw in half the bouquet, he would drop it. So it's a good thing that's not part of the ceremony.
He would definitely drop that.
He would slide under it.
Yes.
For no reason, and then he wouldn't catch it.
I'm sure my friend Jason is. Jason, if you're listening, this is for you. All this cup stock. Wait for the Bears podcast.
Well, they played so long ago, I hardly remember.
I know. It's kind of hard to remember. I mean, what a battle of titans that was, too. Carolina and Chicago.
Bears 2-0 on Thursday night football this year.
Been waiting all day for Thursday night.
If only they could be on it every week, it would, the 72 Dolphins could go fuck off because the Bears would have it all wrapped up.
Yeah.
I don't know when. Maybe sometime during the early fourth quarter, I literally thought to myself, this is one of the most boring football games I've ever watched.
It was so boring. So unmemorable.
Nothing happened.
I barely remember any of it.
There were 20 possessions in the game, and there was one offensive touchdown, because the other one was Damir Smith Marsette's revenge, his 73-yard punt return for a touchdown. Yeah, just a lot of nothing happening.
Yeah, and it was just, all I remember is Jason Kelce with Al Michaels in the booth for the entire game, it seemed like.
For most of the second quarter, right? Or maybe half the first and half the second quarter. He was there for a long time.
Long time.
Al is like, we're going to hold you over. Is that okay? Because I don't want to talk to Kirk. Fuck Kirk. Look at this guy. Mr. Johnny College over here thinks Bryce Young is still great. Why don't you talk instead of this guy?
Yeah.
I clearly, don't you think, auditioning to kick Kirk out of the booth next year?
I mean, there was no reason for him to be there. It wasn't like the Chiefs were playing. I mean, what was the connection? I know they had the week.
There.
I know they had the week off, but
yeah, he
still
was there
what?
For the. He was on the pre and post game, which I watched very little of because it's awful. I don't like NFL pre games anyway. I got rid of those probably 15 years ago. I just stopped watching. Nothing of value on any of these.
Besides Brent and Irv and Phyllis and George, I mean, forget about it. That was it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so it's good that it's we don't do a visual version of the podcast, but here's the book.
You are looking live.
It's how the NFL Today revolutionized sports broadcasting, and it's about, you know, the NFL Today and Brent, Phyllis, Jimmy, and Irv.
Yeah,
and it gives you the whole history even before Phyllis, and it's written by a guy named Rich Podolsky, and there's good stories in it, but he is as boring a writer as that game you watched on Thursday.
Wow!
I read this book thinking I just wish a better writer had actually written this. But
does he mention at all the origin story of Chicken by George? Do you remember Chicken by George?
Yes, and I do think it's in here. The fist fight between Brent and Jimmy is in here.
Legendary. That's legendary. But if you went into the Chicken by George in your grocery stores, that was incredible.
Irv figuring out where to put the part in his hair. That was in there. No, that wasn't. But he had a very defined part.
Yes, he did.
I wonder if it's in the index here. This is a great podcast. I'm looking things up in an index of a book that no one can see.
We're going to talk about some frozen chicken you could have bought in the 80s.
Cincinnati Reds. Chicken by George, page 185. All right.
Oh, fantastic. Here we go.
All right. Here's story time. Kick back. It's great that it's actually in the... let's see. She had a blood disorder. I don't know why that's as in there with the chick. Where's Chicken by George?
Kids, go do a Google search for Chicken by George. You'll see the fine product. I'm sure there must be images of it.
Phyllis wound up leaving the show after 8 months, despite having a 3-year no-cut contract at $1 million a year. At age 35, she went back to Kentucky to raise her two small children. She was married to the governor of Kentucky.
Governor?
There she launched a line of pre-marinated chicken breast recipes called Chicken by George that she sold to Hormel. She wrote or co-wrote 5 books, including her self-help book, Never Say Never. She also created a cosmetics brand, Phyllis George Beauty, for the Home Shopping Network.
Don't remember that.
Kids were named Lincoln and Pamela. Let's see. And in 2000, she made her movie debut in what movie?
Oh, my Lord.
It's a Ben Stiller movie.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. I have Zoolander. Nipples, Greg.
Is it Zoolander?
Can you milk me?
Oh, it was Meet the Parents?
Meet the Parents. So there you go.
Was she selling, was her character selling Chicken by George in the movie, do we recall, or no?
I don't know. Should I look that up?
Let's go look that up.
Should I pull the script from Meet the Parents, see if where the Phyllis George role is?
Yeah.
So I was listening to another Bears podcast, but this is the only one you need, but I was listening to Hogan Johns.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little irritated with Adam Hogue, which I normally don't do. He's clearly spending too much time with the Chuggo boys because he's getting very hot takey. He didn't used to be. That was why I liked that podcast. It was very football nerdy. Now you can tell he's like hanging out with the Bricklayer and Cole Komet and all the other, waving their groins at the camera. And
not having a table changes a man.
It does.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the podcast, within every 10 minutes, he has to mention that he was the special teams coach at Carmel High School this year and last year.
Okay.
So he's even more of a football expert. Two things he mentioned that I was like, oh, shut up. I will admit I gave this a little bit of a thought. When the Bears scored in the third quarter, there were 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, and it was 15-10. And I thought to myself, I wonder if you should go for two here. And I immediately quickly thought, no. You don't want to be up five.
Right.
If you get the advantage of being up seven is not as much as the disadvantage of being up five, considering that you could leave the Panthers alone in Soldier Field for the rest of the game. They're not going to score a touchdown.
Yeah. Right.
But they might kick two field goals.
Right.
He went on and on about what a terrible, cowardly decision that was by the Flus. About how, why would you want to be up 6 points? And then he's like, and it almost came back to bite him because, and this was the part I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Eddie Pinheiro almost made that 59-yard field goal.
It was about 20 yards short.
It didn't even make the end zone. So here was his reasoning. Now, this is the special teams coach in him now. He goes, when you watch the replay, Eddie's foot hits the ground before the ball.
Uh-huh.
If he hits it clean, he makes it.
Okay, great.
All right, Adam, far be it from me to tell a high school special teams coach.
Yeah, let's stay in your lane.
But part of the reason a 59-yard field goal is hard to make is you have to hit the ball perfectly. You hit it too far to the right. Your margin for error, a little bit far, too far to the right, and that ball is sailing. It's got to go a long ways. It's going to go right. A little too much to the left, it's going to go left. You hit it a little too high, it's not going to be high enough, so it's going to make it a little too low, you're going to pop it up.
Well, it's also like saying, if that infield pop-up had gone over the fence,
exactly what it is.
Run.
It's like every asshole at a baseball game. Oh, I just missed that. It's like, that's the game. You know what you just miss? Pretty much every ball that you don't get a hit on, you just miss.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. You almost made it. And even if that had happened, they go to overtime, which we probably end up with a tie.
Al Michaels definitely just goes to Chicago cut at that point.
Like, yes, there's Kirk, no way Al would
I'm out of here.
No, the shot to the booth, you would have just seen Al's headset like swinging on the mic stand. Yes. And he's out the door. All right, Kirk, you're on your own.
I don't think Al was wearing a tie, come to think of it.
Yeah, I don't think a Thursday's casual. No.
For Al, gosh, I always feel Al was in a tie.
I think maybe like opening day. Okay. Now, they've got the Black Friday game next week.
Ah, okay.
Maybe a tie for that. They also have a good game this week. They have Baltimore and
Cincinnati.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So he will be excited. He was not. You could tell he didn't mind being in Chicago, but he did. He had very little interest in actually being at that game. I don't really blame him. It was very dull.
We all had very little interest in watching that game. So we're with you. We were late.
It's hard to say that the Bears defense obviously played well. And people are like, well, it's because they played the Panthers. All right. Yes, I get that. But I don't think a few weeks ago the Bears were capable of doing that to a terrible offense. Like, this is a good sign, right? You play a bad offense, they should not be able to move the ball. Which is basically what they did. It's a low bar to clear, but at least they're clearing that bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I joked about Montez Sweat being the player of the game, and Amazon made him the player of the game. He had no tackles, no sacks. But he had eight quarterback pressures, which is the most since Big Play Bob Quinn 3 years ago.
Wow. Wow.
So he definitely had an impact on the game. Proof you don't have to have a tackle.
That is pretty hilarious though. Zero tackles, zero sacks, player of the game.
Fitting to be the player of the game for that game.
God, does that sum up the Chicago Bears right there?
What do you think Matt Eberflus drank at halftime? Have you ever seen him more giddy than in the post halftime interview? Just smiling. They're losing, and he knows he's the cat that caught the canary. Big grin, he's very happy. Tells Kaylee Hartung, "We got some stuff up our sleeve."
I'm gonna say he had a rum mixed with Yoo-hoo.
The Flus. If you go to any bar and order the Flus, that's what you get.
You got to put the rum in
your don't have any. You just order it, and they're like, "We don't have any fucking Yoo-hoo. Pick something else." You don't even have to tell them how to make it. They know because it's all.
Oh, they know what it is. Yeah. Rum and Yoo-hoo.
So I was thinking to myself, you know, I was like, "Ooh, intrigued. What do they have up their sleeve? This is gonna be great."
Oh yeah.
Nothing. There was nothing up their sleeve. They. And I guess Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times asked him in the press conference then on like Monday or Tuesday, what have you got up your sleeve? And he goes, I don't know. What do you got up yours? That was his answer. And he really emphasized the up yours part, which was actually pretty funny.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
And what do you got up yours?
You see what was up your sleeve? Did you use it? Or
I don't know. What's up yours?
Not because you got me there.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. Do you think he got a contract extension at halftime?
Yeah.
Is that why he was so happy? It just seems like he's like, "Hey, we're set."
Either that, or he knows, like,
he got
fired
at halftime.
He just knows.
All the problems are off his back.
Yeah,
now.
He doesn't have a care in the world,
and he's like, "Ah,
this is great." He's like, you know, I can be the Yankees bench coach maybe next year.
So there's been a lot of time with the Jimbo Fisher getting fired in Texas A&M, getting a $76 million buyout.
Yes. Wow.
One of the guys was looking at his contract is public, and they were looking at it. And in that Texas system, he could be, if he was anybody else, he could technically be reassigned at his salary, at full salary, to some other jobs. They were trying to come up with things that Jimbo could do for $76 million. You know, as we put him on, you know, we put him on the grounds crew. He looks like a guy who would enjoy an afternoon on a mower. He'd probably be happy with that. Somebody thought they could send him to the animal husbandry thing, and he could, you know, inseminate cows. He might enjoy that.
Right.
And then I thought the same thing with David Ross. Like, why don't they just make him? You got to pay him next year. I'd make him be the bullpen catcher. Like, he should be able to do that, right? He can still.
He's qualified for that. Yeah. Why not?
But I think it would be funny if the Bears told Flus, all right, good news and bad news. Bad news is you're fired. The good news is you actually did a pretty nice job with the defense. So you're the defensive coordinator. We're just going to hire a head coach who's going to be your boss.
Right.
But we're already paying you, so that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And you know what? He would do it.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't be happy. I'm sure he'd bitch for a few days. And then he'd just show up, like, by, like, Wednesday. He'd just be defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus. He wouldn't care. He'd be like, all right, fine, whatever.
Yeah, my workload is cut by 90%. I'll just kind of a part-time gig now.
But they're all, you know, if the Bears are always like, we don't want to pay two coaches.
Don't.
You don't have to pay him to do nothing.
There you go.
That would be great. They could make him the radio play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Well, games wouldn't be any more of a mystery than they already are.
Do we think George McCaskey is going to drive in his, what is it, a Toyota Corolla he drives or
Camry.
Something?
Oh, so he's got the Camry.
Camry.
He needs the extra leg room.
Is he going to drive the Camry to Flus's house after the season to fire him in person like Judd did?
Hi, Matt. Would you like some? I brought some Yoo-hoo.
Like, oh, I got plenty, George. One thing we don't lack in this house is Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo and rum.
At this point now, I need Jed to write a book when he's done. Because I need the blow-by-blows of the Rick Renneria and the David Ross visits.
Right. He could write a book just on those two firings. That would be interesting.
Why didn't he make Carter go fire Ross? Theo made him go fire Ricky.
So what I saw there was because that sounds like a cop-out by Theo, first of all. But yeah. The reason was because Theo should have gone,
yes.
Right? But the reason that Jed went, Jed had the better relationship with Ricky. So I guess Theo thought, well, let's word that completely.
He likes you. Let's go fuck that up. Okay, thanks, yeah. Theo. Great, thanks, Teddy. Bro. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just think that, what if, how great would this have been, right? If we found out, here's how we find out that David Ross has been fired. Mm-hmm. Before the Cubs can announce that they've hired Craig Counsell, Ross is arrested for beating the shit out of Carter Hawkins. It would have been like the greatest thing we ever saw.
That would have been fantastic, yeah. Jed shows up with a black eye at the press conference.
Well, that's why I would have sent Carter. I think Ross would have hit Carter. I think he's probably enough friends with Jed that Jed was like, all right, he's gonna punch your enormous head,
right,
100 times.
Yeah.
So I better go. But I would have.
Ah.
I would have sent Carter just to get beat up. That would have been my whole, like, Carter, you know, you're the GM. You got to go do this. This is your duties. Other duties as assigned. Go fire the manager.
Hey, we all got to pay our dues, Carter. I had to do it with Ricky. This is your turn.
Now, there's another theory, and this is the best Bear podcast we've ever done. I have another theory. What if, I mean, Jed was like, you know, fuck Ross. I'm going to get a better manager. What if he wanted to fire him? Like, he went because he's like, oh, no. You don't get to do this. I get to do this.
You don't get to quit. I'm firing your ass.
He's telling Carter, I don't know. I'm doing this one myself. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Because we just assume that they're pals, right? But relationships can go sour. He didn't like him enough to keep him. What if he went down there because he's like, you know what? Fuck this dude. I can't wait to fire his candy ass right in his house.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, are the kids home? Good. Bring them into the living room. I got something to tell you.
Yeah, tell them to get their phones out.
Do you guys like the daddy manages the Cubs? Do you? Well, guess what? He doesn't. And we're paying another guy more than twice what we're paying your dad. You know why? Because he's easily more than twice as good. He's a bargain. If we put a dollar amount on the idiocy of your dad and then had to pay Craig Counsell for that same rate for competence, it cost $1 billion to hire. That's what it would have cost. All right, kids, you can go back out in the yard and hit yourself with sticks or whatever the fuck you were doing before. So the Bears play the segues are just great.
They just roll right off the tongue.
Bears play the Lions.
Yes.
And
oh my!
Looks like Justin Fields is coming back. It's like, yep. Justin, your timing is not great.
No.
I wonder if it'd be funny if they clear him to play, and he's like, he's watching film, and he's like, I think maybe Minnesota next week seems like a better day. You know, my thumb is really starting to throb. Oh, I don't know what happened. Tyson, you know, you might want to take this one.
But, yeah.
But imagine living in a world where it's like, oh, shit, we got to play the Lions.
That's so pathetic.
Oh, shit, we got to play. That was never a thing.
No. No.
But, yeah, the Chargers, who the Bears could scarcely mount a drive against.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a really fun game. It was just a lot of fun. Was going to win that one.
It was a great game.
I mean, I don't doubt that the Bears will, especially if it looks like Justin will be back, and I'm sure they will move the ball against the Lions, who have a good defense, but it's not, you know, it's not great defense. But good Lord, I mean, I don't know. They're going to score 40 points on the Bears, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe the new improved Flus, the Flus defense. They'll handle it. We don't know if Tremaine Edmonds is going to be back this week. But you know, that people, oh, Jack Sanborn's better.
Yeah.
Hearing all this, oh, look at that.
Well, the Flus does have an extra few days to prepare, so maybe there's an advantage there this week.
Now he managed to outfox Bill Belichick last year with extra time to prep.
See?
Imagine what it'll do to Dan Campbell. yeah, there are people talking about, well, you know, Sanborn, he's more of a natural middle linebacker. He should be the middle linebacker. It's like, well, you do understand also that they play differently. Like, Edmonds is literally there because they want a rangier middle linebacker who right. drops back, you know, gets in the way of, like, the intermediate passes and that kind of stuff. So he's literally supposed to make – it's designed for him to make fewer tackles than with a slow white guy who is
right.
it's like, okay, now, Jack, backing you up is not going to do us any good. You need to come up and just tackle running backs. That's your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have not always been the biggest Tremaine Edmonds fan. I believe, like, week three, I just tweeted out he sucks. I gave him 3 weeks. I was very patient.
Yeah. Hey, it's NFL. Make it happen. Got to make it happen quickly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
So the Bears might get Khalil Herbert back. Would be nice.
That would be nice.
Although it's not like the running game is not
the running, I was going to say, the running. Yeah, the running game has been okay. Everything else.
I think it was Mike Sando and who's the Randy Mueller, former NFL GM, were talking about the Thursday night game, and they're like, here's a problem for Carolina. Thursday night they're playing. We know they're in a rebuild, but you know, they were supposed to be farther ahead in this than the Bears because they had a better team last year and then they moved up to get the number one pick.
Right.
The two best players in the game were former Panthers playing for the Bears. DJ Moore and Dante Foreman. And, like, that's kind of a bad sign.
It's a real bad sign. It's a real bad sign. What are our hopes for the Bears against the Lions? Does not get blown out? Be competitive? Justin Fields showing no rust, just comes in looking good.
Yeah, I think they got 7 games to go.
God, that's incredible. 7 more games.
Yeah. Feels like they've already played an entire season.
Yeah.
And I think really what we're still in the evaluating Justin Fields.
Yep.
And you'd like to see that the defense continued improvement from the defense. One thing Kirk made a big deal about, but I actually think he was right, is it's not a coincidence that the defense started to play competently when the secondary got back intact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because after like half the Packer game, they didn't have. I think that's when Kyler Gordon got hurt. Then yeah. Eddie was out. Jaquan bangs his head into somebody every 15 minutes and has to go take a nap in the blue tent.
Right.
So, you know, the secondary is in line. Having Montez certainly does help on the, you know, they have, it's still, I think maybe a meeting where they go over the rules and like, you are allowed to tackle the quarterback. I know there's a lot of things about how you can't hit him high and you can't hit him low, but you know, you can still hit him. Let's try some of that. Cause it's amazing to me that like they put pressure on Bryce Young, but I don't remember them ever feeling like they were actually going to sack him. Like, the closest they came was it looked like Montez was going to knock the ball out of Bryce's hand as he was, like, being pushed past him.
Yeah,
He had pushed the guy into the backfield. Now, he was getting pushed away, and he reached out with his big mitt and almost knocked the ball. But he was going to sack him.
No. Yeah, they do have an aversion to tackling, for sure.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible tacklers. It's just, it's, of all the shit they do that drives me nuts, that by far is the worst. You know, like you'll see, there'll be a little check down pass. Like, okay, good. That guy's not. And he breaks one tackle where the guy is clearly, like, you could tackle the guy for a 2 yard gain and set up 3rd and 8. Instead, the Bears are like, ooh, I could punch the ball out. It's like, well, it doesn't help if you miss the punching it and then he gets 8 yards and it's a 1st down.
Yeah.
Just tackle him.
It's like, you're not Peanut Tillman here.
Yeah, the offensive line has looked better.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're supposed to get Nate Davis back, and then that starts the whole thing about, okay, well, does that mean you move Tevin to left guard and tell Cody, go have a seat? I mean, I think yes. It's
probably, yeah.
Or do you make Nate Davis? Because as Tevin and Darnell Wright seem to have a nice thing going on the right side, do you tell Nate Davis after like 8 years in the NFL, hey, just go play left guard. It's the same. It's everything's just opposite. You'll be fine.
He'll do great.
Yeah. I have a feeling that'll just make – Tevin has played both this year, so the smart thing I think would be to make – have Tevin go over and play the other side. That does not alleviate the problem of having Lucas Patrick still playing center.
And does not.
He's so bad. Like, yeah. How bad do you have to be to stand out as bad at center?
It's been a while since that's happened.
Remember when the Bears drafted Hronus Grasu? Remember he got him from Oregon?
Hronus Grasu.
And he played in the league for a long time, but his biggest problem was he was light. Like I don't remember which regime this was, if it was Fox or it might have been the end of Trestman. They've all blurred together. But their idea was they wanted to get like a shorter, quicker offensive line. They were going to move around more. The problem was every time Hronus would snap the ball, the nose guard would like pick him up and throw him at the quarterback. That's like the last time a center has like stood out, other than when Cody, the first time he was center, went through the yips where he couldn't, where he was snapping the ball at the ground and over. You know, yeah. Usually when you notice the center, it's bad.
Usually it's bad.
Because usually the only time you notice the center is on the occasion where they forget the snap count, and you get the thing from the ref. Everybody but all the alignment except the center.
Right. Which, of course, is really the opposite.
Which meant somebody forgot to snap it. Because there's no way the other four guys were all wrong and you were right.
Right. Do you ever remember Jay Hilgenberg having a bad snap? I'm sure he did, but you sure don't remember him.
I don't remember Jay Lewenberg having a bad center either. You need more Bergs. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Could be it.
They need more Bergs.
Yeah.
They had Todd Berger played center.
See?
But that.
We're onto something.
He was not so good. So this is where Todd Berger fit in the when he was playing for the Bears. Todd Berger was doing a weekly hit on a Rockford top 40 station. Like he was talking. It was
what?
Pete McMurray, who went on and he was WGN and a couple other places. He had actual talk shows, but he had these aspirations, and he somehow met Todd Berger. I was calling him Brad Mustard. That's completely different. He met him, and he's like, hey, you should come on the show. And he would come on, like, every Tuesday, and they would break down the game. And it's like, how fucking random is this? That it's just like this barely passable NFL lineman. It's perfect for Rockford.
It is perfect for Rockford, yeah.
But I wouldn't – if I was midday Michelle here in Rockford, I wouldn't bother to have Lucas Patrick on my show. He wouldn't be good enough. I'd be like, all right, ratings are going to go in a shitter. I got
a show to protect over here.
I got what do they call it? They have that oldie show at noon. I forget what the thing is, but it's like, I gotta play Duran Duran. I don't have time for you. Sorry. All right, do we think there's a chance that in the last 7 weeks the Bears offense can be so explosive that Luke Getsy gets poached to be a head coach? Remember we were supposed to be worried about that?
Yeah. Everybody's big concern. I'm not so worried about that one, no.
You don't think they're lining up for
the I'm more worried about Ryan Tepera being put in charge of AI than I am about it.
Do we think there's any chance that they will they'll have a Tyson Bagent package?
Ooh, package! I like that. Right. Yeah.
Like, all right, Justin, come here. We're putting Tyson in for this. We got a couple of plays for him. Justin's like, what? What is it exactly that he can run that I can't? What is the?
Yeah.
Is this the one where you're just going to let everybody hit him? Because I thought we're already running that with me.
God, that would be so Bears though if they put in a Tyson Bajan pick.
Yep.
Oh man, we should be we should look out for that because that absolutely is a possibility.
DraftKings should have odds on that. I would bet it. Bajan you could put a number high enough on that for me to scare me off. I would bet it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be exactly. Actually, here's what they would do, right?
They could throw that screen pass that you were talking
about. Wildcat. You got both quarterbacks on the field at the same time.
Oh, see? You don't know if a runner
that
pass
actually, now that I say it out loud, other than the fact that I don't want Justin's first game back from a bum thumb playing wide receiver for a play.
Right.
But if you're ever going to do that, that would be a guy. Like, if the idea is, you know, if we could just get the ball to Justin out on the edge once or twice in this game, we'll put him in. Here's what I would do. Except you can't do this with Lucas Patrick because he can't snap it straight. I would line them up next to each other.
That's what I was thinking, right.
And you don't know who Lucas is going to snap the ball to.
Yeah, you don't know if it's a runner or a pass. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Even better, Lucas doesn't know who he's going to snap it to either.
Well, he's so much easier for him now.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to catch this. Yay! Right.
His margin of error just increased by a wide margin.
I'm going to write this down. I'm going to email it to Getsy.
This is good. Call Starkist.
Let's see. His email would be moron@bears.com. Oh, how many people? That could go. That's got to be like a listserv. Like a lot of the coaches would get it if you sent it to moron@bears.com.
Moron@chicagobears.com.
How about yinzer@bears.com?
Okay.
That either goes to him or maybe they forward it to John Greenberg. I'm not sure. But
okay.
I'm going to try that. I'll write a couple of plays up and scan them. Is that how you do that still? You scan them? Do you have a scanner?
Yeah, scan them or fax them or something.
Somewhere back here, I've got a scanner.
He's probably got an email like, Luke, I am your father, Getsy at bears.com.
Yeah. Well, now I've intrigued myself.
See, now we got something to watch. See, that's why you listen to this Bears pod. Something to look out for in this game.
One thing, I'm very upset about this. That Amazon didn't make a big deal about it, but second, that they didn't stop the game. Do you know Cairo Santos made his 500th career field goal in that game?
I did not. They didn't bother to tell us.
He's like the 11th player in NFL history, or maybe active. I don't know. I didn't read the stat that much. But he made his 500th field goal.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
500 is a lot.
And so that means he's had 502 attempts. Is that about right?
He's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Well, they stopped it for that guy playing the Cubs who stole the – what was that?
Ronald Acuna when he – oh, Jim Jones is still pissed.
He is pissed. He was pissed.
Here's a good Bears question for you. If Seiya Suzuki had caught that fly ball, would David Ross still be the Cubs manager?
Yeah, I've pondered that. I think there's I think so. So even though you didn't know, we have no way for sure, but I thanked them on Twitter for not.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to next time I see Seiya, big hug.
Yeah, right. Because if he catches that, then they make the playoffs, then it's hard to fire him. Yeah. Real hard.
I mean, except for the fact that I felt this happened while we were podcasting.
Yes, I remember that.
And then we were all three of us saw it at varying times.
Right. I was behind you, and you're like, and you go,
I saw
oh,
it.
I'm like,
I saw it first. Yeah. Then Praz saw it. Then right. Takes like, a long what? Time for the signal to get all the way to LA.
Yeah. And you're like, just keep watching.
You're like, oh, what happened? And then we're both watching you, and just look on your face, because it's a routine fly ball, and I could see you trying to figure out, like, what could possibly go wrong? And then you're like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's right. At the time, I felt like, they only had a one-run lead. That was the eighth. Yeah. They weren't surviving the ninth in that game. All I did was Seiya had to take the shit instead of Julian Merriweather or whoever was going to get blamed for coughing it up in the ninth. But now that we can directly tie it to the firing, it's now my favorite play of the 2023. The most valuable. The most impactful play any player made in 2023 for the Cubs was Seiya botching that fly ball and getting Ross fired.
I so agree.
When they win the World Series next year, we're going to remember that moment.
That should be there. Yeah.
The moment that kicked off the Cub dynasty.
He should get a statue of just him missing the ball.
And then they could, they should. So they, in that statue, whatever they call it,
whatever that, yeah,
statutory
row.
Hopefully not statutory row. That's yeah, Mel Hall that. Has a statue there. Markavius Mingo has one. There is like, so the Sandberg one is going in on one end. There's still an open spot. Another one, and that you could do a cool statue of, say, and you could have like a light installed that's like shining really brightly, like right on the face of the statue, and him like
right,
you know, kind of
right.
like recoiling right as the ball is coming down.
Yeah, it's on 24 hours a day. It blinds the neighbors as they're trying to go to bed.
When
the people in the hotel, Zachary can't sleep because
there's a
light.
Lot of good ideas. I'm going to write that down too. I'm going to mail that one to Crane. All right. Do you know what the spread is? You have a good idea. I gave it away when I was.
I was going to say you got to give it away.
Get well soon message.
Yeah.
He gave us. He made his prediction for us.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't phoning it in. He was messaging it in.
Yeah.
It's a Lions 9.5.
Big spread.
Praz is he wants the Lions to cover, and he's taking the over, and the over-under is 47. Bears only have to score 7 points to make it hit the over. That's a gift.
They could do that. They'll do that by accident.
That is the officially. That is the second highest over-under of the week.
What's the highest? Begs the question.
The Cardinals Texans 47.5.
Okay.
Putting a lot of putting a lot on Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Or they just figure that the Texans are going to beat the Cardinals 42-5. Which could happen.
Yeah, I have no reason to believe this, but other than the Bears will be inspired by Justin's return, they'll give it a whale of a game, play a whale of a game, and they'll, you know.
At some point, the Lions have to Lions. Like it's still there.
Yeah,
it's in their DNA, and it still annoys me that we get they've only won one playoff game since 1991. It's like no. They've only won one playoff game since 1956.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop at 91 because that's when they won that one.
Yeah.
You can go back to the year after the championship. They haven't won a playoff. They've won one playoff game since then. And I realize I'm making the argument that used to piss me off so much as a Cub fan. It's like our history is not what dictates what happens. Although we also know as a Cub fan, it kind of did. Like, it was a huge boulder so you had to get out of the way. I always felt like for the Cubs, it wasn't winning the pennant, which I always thought it was going to be. I think it was when they beat the Cardinals in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that was like, you know what? Even though they went down in flames to the Mets, nobody thought that was, you know, it sucked. We wanted to go to the World Series, but you weren't that crushed.
No.
Because they had beaten the Cardinals.
And they were kind of a year early, too.
Yeah. And then you looked into the next season, and it didn't seem so insurmountable. Like,
it did.
It seemed, well, they also had the, when you start 25-6.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It ups expectations a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're picking the Bears to cover?
Yeah.
A spunky cover?
I'm going to go under, though.
I think the Bears will score points. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
But I think the Lions are going to score a lot of points, so I'm going to take the Lions.
No confidence in my pick.
I'll pick the Bears on the rematch when they come to Soldier Field.
There you go.
Do you know who the announcers are? I guessed this correctly before I looked it up. I felt like this was this tier of game. It's on Fox.
Mark Sanchez.
Nope, not you.
No, it's gonna be better than that, right?
Yeah, they didn't get the Kevin Cooler. The Lions, ironically,
the Lions are
the quality of, but not that much. But still, better.
Well,
play by play guy, really good. Color guy, a little annoying, but not as bad as he used to be.
Well, it's certainly we don't have Greg and Little Baby KK, that's for sure.
No, so.
No, who do we got?
Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth.
Okay. Adam's great.
I don't know what he
like
says.
Schlereth.
One or the other.
Yeah, Adam's good. Yep. Big fan of Adam.
And then the last thing I was going to ask you. No, I have it right here. Do you think I'm gonna ask you the question, but before I answer, I'm gonna read the schedule.
Okay.
Do you think that Carolina Panther team that you saw on Thursday night can win another game? Here's the remaining schedule. This week, the Cowboys.
No.
Next week at Tennessee. Then at Tampa. Then at the Saints. You know, they are in the NFC South, so they get them.
Right.
Then the Falcons. So they play everybody. They do get all three. Then the Packers. At the Jags. And at Tampa again. So are we looking at a 1-16 or better?
I think they can win one. I think they can win one. Maybe against the Packers. Who knows?
Okay. So if they win one and go 2-15. I have a hunch watching the Giants play that will tie them with the Giants. I don't know who the hell the Giants are going to beat with Tommy DeVito playing quarterback.
Yeah, it's not good.
But if that happens, because the NFC South is so bad, they're already projecting strength of schedule will go to the Panthers, which would give the Bears the number one pick and not the Giants.
Wow. Wow. That would be amazing.
But I think if Carolina wins two more games, they're not picking first.
Yeah.
The Bears are clearly going to have a top three pick because those Panthers are awful. But there's a lot of other teams lining up into, I don't know if we win another game mode.
Yeah, out of the hunt.
All right. Well, congratulations on your being able to go back to work.
Yeah.
And
That's good.
We'll figure out what we'll send some chicken soup, or I don't know what end it's coming out of with Prez, so I don't know what to send him.
Chicken soup's always a safe bet, no matter what.
We can, at worst, he could dump it out and just shit in the pot.
Yeah. See, it's multi-purpose.
It's a multi-purpose.
Yeah. Who are we kidding? We're not sending a nobody knows soup.
So I don't know where. Yeah, I guess I do have his address. It's weird. He lives out in DuPage County, where there's like, his address is like U42 Northwest. It's like, what? What is it? It's not an address. It's like coordinates. Are we dropping a bomb or sending you mail?
Unincorporated DuPage. I don't even have a sewage line out there.
And maybe that's what happened to him.
Might be on the outhouse, yeah.
Guy gave himself dysentery in the yard. All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Well, thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. Got to congratulate the Dolan family.
I don't know. What's up yours?